All right. Thank you very much, moderator. Like I said, my name is Austin Scott. I am wrapping up my master's degree at the University of Tennessee. This was some of my thesis research. We wanted to take these new drought-tolerant corn hybrids and sort of put them in a field setting in an environment that usually receives enough rainfall to get good corn yields and see if they might be an option for our producers. So in Tennessee, Tennessee is ranked about 16th for corn production across the U.S. Yield-wise. We harvested about 332,000 hectares last year. Mostly, it's concentrated in the western region, specifically that northwestern part of Tennessee. Most of our acreage is non-irrigated because we have small, irregular-shaped fields, have trouble getting pivots in there. But as everybody knows, yields are greatly influenced by moisture availability. So this is a graph I got from the USDA. The y-axis gives billions of bushels harvested in the U.S. in 2014. And I just highlighted a few years here, 2006, 2008, 2012. Said, you know, you see a significant decline in yields. What could that be associated with? And those are all years where we had pretty widespread drought. So like I said earlier, in the Mid-South, specifically Tennessee, we usually get enough rainfall to produce a good corn crop, you know, 127, 140 centimeters a year, but it's not always as timely as we'd like. We usually experience a little bit of drought here and there, and as most of you know, corn is really susceptible to drought at certain periods. So this kind of outlines when that corn plant needs all that water. At that V9 to V12 stage, you're looking at about 4.5 centimeters a week that you need. As you move on into the reproductive states, specifically around silking, you're looking at needing about 5.8 centimeters of water per week to get those maximized yields. Throughout that growing season, 80 to 90 centimeters is what you need, but it's really dependent on what stage that crop is at. So a few benefits of getting that good water, you get good pollination, reduced aflatoxin, more timely dry downs, and ultimately yield. You know, that's what producers are looking for. The ways we try to improve that in Tennessee, using our BMPs, planting early, planting corn on better soils. You can use irrigation if your farm allows for it, or you could possibly use these new drought-tolerant hybrids. So we decided these are the three that are currently on the market right now. Pioneer is labeled theirs as Aquamax, and they claim to mitigate the drought stress then the reproductive stages better. Syngenta's is called Artesian, and they claim better water optimization throughout the entire growing season. And then Monsanto's got their Drought Guard technology, and it's actually the only GMO drought-tolerance hybrid or drought-tolerant technology on the market. So we decided to evaluate these technologies based on planting date and try to see if an earlier or later planting date would be better of these new drought-tolerant hybrids in a field setting. So we set it up as a randomized complete block. Our plots are about 3 meters by 9 meters, 4 rows per plot, 6 blocks in each field. Planted about 79,000 seeds per hectare. And our varieties are listed below here. The varieties in bold are the hybrids that have the drought tolerant technology in them, and then the hybrids that aren't bolded are the conventional checks that we compared them against. With the decab varieties, we used 66-42 in 2014, but due to seed production issues, we had to switch to 65-20 in 2015, but we were assured that it had very similar parent lines and reacted very similar in situations in field settings. So we did this research in Milan, Tennessee at the Research and Education Center, and we did it under two different environments. We wanted a naturally rain-fed environment to test these hybrids, but then we wanted, just in case we got significant drought, we wanted to test them under irrigated conditions as well. Our plant dates were early April and then early May, and that's pretty indicative of most of the corn planted in Tennessee. Then we analyzed all of our data in SAS 9.4 using ProcReg and ProcGlimix mix models. So our physiological measurements that we looked at were measured at V6, V12, and R1, and we checked the model conductance, dry matter, above ground biomass, growth stages, leaf temperatures, and height. And then our harvest time measurements were forced yield. We took ear sizes, number of kernels around, and how long the rows were. We took stalk to ear ratios and 500 seed weights. This just kind of outlines what the environment has been in Tennessee the past 2 years. We've had excellent conditions for growing corn. So as soon as you start doing drought tolerant research, you don't get a drought anymore. But the secondary y-axis shows precipitation throughout the growing season. 2014's on top, 2015's on the bottom. But the secondary y-axis shows millimeters of precipitation, and it's represented by the green bars. The lines across are the min and max temperatures for each day. Had pretty mild temperatures, good growing conditions. Really want to focus on those green bars, though. As you can see, we had excellent precipitation throughout the entire growing season. These hybrids never really stressed. So 2015, we put soil moisture sensors in the ground. And this, again, that bottom black bar kind of tells you when those hybrids are going to be stressing. And as you can see, they never really stressed. So this is our ANOVA of each company. And I want to stress, we did not compare companies against each other. Each one was analyzed separately, as you can see here. Really wanted to focus, like I said, on that planting date effect, though. We did have some sort of trends start to show up across technology. The abaxial stomatal conductance. Let me explain what all the variables are first. On the top, we have adaxial and abaxial stomatal conductance as A and B, LTs, leaf temperature, ABMs, above ground biomass, pH, plant height, and then all the variables to the right of that are our harvest time measurements. Grain yield, seed weight, grain weight, ear weight, ear rows, and ear length. Well, getting back to the physiological measurements, as you can see, the abaxial stomatal conductance did separate on all three hybrids, and it was a decrease by plant date. So that later plant date did have lower stomatal conductance than that first plant date did. At R1, it showed the same trend. Leaf temperatures, kind of what you might expect, the second plant date with higher temperatures had higher leaf temperatures as well. Our biomass, they all decreased at the V12 stage from the first plant date to the second plant date, but then they all increased at the R1 stage. And we think that's just because we saw a little bit of drought early, and it might have stressed the plants a little bit, but then they started receiving the rainfall that they needed and kind of started putting on that growth again. Moving on to the harvest time measurements. As you can see, we didn't really have any hybrid effects with any of the companies but the Monsanto variety, but we did have planting date effects separate on all three. So this kind of, it's just a visual representation of our hybrid effects. Like I said, Monsanto was the only one that actually significantly separated. The orange bars represent the drought tolerant hybrids, and the blue bars represent the conventional checks. You got the yield on the y-axis, and then each company individual along the y-axis. But as you can see, the Monsanto varieties, actually the drought tolerant hybrids, actually out yielded the conventional checks. And again, these are in high yield environments. The planting date effect is and the planting date by environment effects are on the y-axis, and again yields on the y are on the x-axis, and again yield is on the y-axis in this graph. And as you can see, across both years, our second plant date actually out-yielded our first plant date. And this is kind of odd because we've got multiple years of data, planting time data, saying that earlier plant dates usually out-yield the later ones. So I think these 2 years of this data just kind of, they were special years. We had a lot of rain, high-yield environments all year. The early plant dates kind of got stressed a little bit early. And I think it held them back a little bit, and they didn't really reach their full potential like that second plant date did. The planting date by environment interactions that we have, The first yellow and blue bar represent the early and late irrigated plots, and then the green bar and the purplish bar represent the early and late plant dated dryland studies. So as you can see, our drylands out-yielded our irrigated, and that should tell you something right there when your dryland plots are out-yielding your irrigated plots. We had, again, excellent conditions for growing corn both these years. Also think that our irrigated fields kind of held water a little too much and held those corn plants back a little bit too. So this is just our correlation. We did run correlations, correlation coefficients on all of our measurements, physiological and harvest time measurements. And I just wanted to highlight a little bit here. This is the Aquamax variety. All the numbers that are bolded are considered moderately correlated. Did run variable response regression on this too, try to develop a model that best predicted grain yield. I will not talk about the drought guard, Monsanto drought guard, or the Syngenta artesian, because I could not get a model to validate across both years. I could get a decent R-squared predictive values for each year individual, but I couldn't, the years were influencing my regression models. So I think we need a little bit more data to get a better model to predict those. But I did come up with a model that's across the bottom of the screen here that represents the Aquamax, and it just came up with a pie chart. We were able to get a 67% R square value with a significance of 0.001 with this model though, and it kind of, I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to speed through this a little bit. The seed weight made up about 17.5% of that 67% R-squared. The ear length made up about 11%. 27% came from biomass at V6, and then biomass at R1, 7%. You can kind of see the others here. But we were able to come up with a model to predict grain yield at a pretty reasonable R-squared. I think, again, more data would help bring that R-squared value up and make better prediction models. So we did conclude on this part of the study that our drought-tolerant hybrids are competitive in low-stress, high-yield environments. They were actually topping the yield charts. You could use those, or our producers in Tennessee could use these drought-tolerant corn hybrids to kind of hedge some of their loss that they might usually receive from drought. Did figure out that drought-tolerant technologies are the same, and we couldn't really establish a stable trend across all of them either. Moving on to the second objective of this study, we wanted to evaluate the early season physiological mechanisms and root morphological differences that were associated with these drought-tolerant hybrids. We did this in the greenhouse. We took all our measurements using the WinRISO system. It was set up as a split plot design using hybrids, the hybrid as an interaction as the main plot and the environment as a subplot. One plant per sleeve is all we planted. Again, it was the same hybrids that were used in the field setting that we were checking. We did this in West Tennessee at Jackson at our research and education center, and the greenhouses there. And we had a well-watered environment and a water-stressed environment. And all the data was run using SAS 9.4 mixed models. So the corn hybrids, we grew them to V6 in the greenhouse. We grew them in these PVC pipes you see here, using plastic liners to contain all the root growth. We used a calcium clay, a turf-based calcium clay, as our growing medium. The physiological measurements we took, again, were leaf temperature, stomatal conductance, and dry matter. And then the root samples were taken at harvest, as you can see, separated into 17-centimeter sections so that we could analyze them using that WinRISO system. We looked at the system defined the root length, surface area, and diameter, and volume. We got all those measurements using that WinRISO system. So this is the physiological measurements that we took. And again, not a whole lot of hybrid interaction going on, but we did see a lot of environmental interactions. So that's our well-watered situations to our water stress situations. And as you might expect, our water stress situations had significantly lower adaxial stomatal conductance, abaxial biomass, and leaf temperatures. Leaf temperatures didn't follow across all varieties very much. Again, we analyzed all this data by company, so no companies were analyzed against each other. And for the root morphology part of it, again, RL, SARD, and RV, that's your root length, surface area, root diameter, and root volume. Saw a lot of environment interactions again, a lot of significant environmental interactions again, usually just reducing the actual amount of roots in that in our water stress situations. Just to wrap up real quick, our water stress environment did reduce all the above ground biomass, the adaxial leaf transpiration, root length, root surface area, and root volume for both the drought tolerant and the non-drought tolerant hybrids. It just reduced it across the board. And the drought tolerant seedlings didn't show any improved physical or physiological responses to this early season drought. And I think maybe if we harvested these plants at V6, maybe if we'd taken them a little bit further, we would actually see those drought tolerant technologies come to life a little bit better. So that, you know, it going forward with research in the future, I think we might grow them to a later date. Just acknowledge all the parties that helped me. And if I have time, which I don't, you can talk to me outside though. Thank you.